Dana Saylor Furman is only 33, but if I were to pass along her entire resume, it very well might take all of our airtime. So we'll just tell you that Dana is a founding member of Emerging Leaders in the Arts Buffalo, and she's active in Preservation Buffalo Niagara. Dana joins Elizabeth Licata in our studios today. Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Your most public role, Dana, was that of event coordinator for the City of Night held at Buffalo's historic grain elevators in September. What were you trying to achieve with that?
Collaboration was the most important goal of the event. I wanted people to walk away with an experience that was unparalleled and something that they had not seen before. They came to it with their area of expertise or appreciation, whether they were a preservationist coming to learn about art or a historian who really thought, hey, some cool things are happening here, food trucks and bike valets. But it was really wonderful to see the age variety and the people from different backgrounds in that place, people who had never had a chance to experience that before, and to really raise the bar for the type of events that we can have here in Buffalo.
Will we see more of this involving the grain elevators in the future?
I would love to. In fact, we've been asked to come back for a second year, so we're hoping to get underway with that very soon.
You're running an historical research business you're calling Old Time Roots. Tell us about that.
Well, I do historic property research and family history services. That's what I've been working on for the past 5 years or so in the background, and I recently, in the last couple of years, decided to make it a full-time business. And having an art history background, it was always something that I was fascinated with, and Buffalo gives me a great canvas on which to paint this new business.
So you can make a living at historical research.
A modest one, sure.
Yeah, good, good, good. What would you like to see happen as the new Buffalo evolves?
Well, something that I recently spoke about when I was interviewed actually for Buffalo Spree's Game Changers issue was, you know, if you were mayor, what would you do was one of the questions. And I said that not so much individual actions, but the idea of what a mayor or a leader should do should include transparency and consensus building. Those are two of the most important things that we can have right now, because I think that there's a lot of confusion as to what a person can do, how they can be involved, what their role can be as a citizen. People don't know that they can have a voice. And I think that if the people who are in charge are showing everyone that they can play an active role and that they want to hear their voices and that they want people to participate in government and in the leadership and in the direction of a community, that you know, you need people who are transparent. You need people who are consensus builders, who are bringing people together, connecting people, and empowering this next generation.
Let's invite Elizabeth into our conversation now, because we usually talk preservation during the segment. And following a court ruling the other day, it now appears the demolition of the old Bethlehem Steel Administration Building is days, if not hours, away.
Yes, it's been lifted, and they, I think they have 10 days. And then they are required, actually, according to the judge, to start the demolition, which is going to cost them a lot of money. It's just inexplicable to me that the city of Lackawanna seems unable to consider the historic reuse of this magnificent historic property, which is not only beautiful but has so much history behind it. And it's also inexplicable when you think of these very similar projects that have been done in Buffalo on buildings that were in equally bad shape. So the Webb Building, for example, on Pearl Street, right along Main Street, 918 Main, which we talked about, you and I, just as bad, if not worse. Where the Granite Works is on 844, just as bad. There had been a fire. Building was had to be entirely gutted, but that facade was kept, and that historic facade, that historic streetscape is what brings people. That's what people want to see. And why they don't understand this, or why the Lackawanna government does not understand this, is beyond me.
Well, I was astounded reading an account in the Buffalo News the other day that Lackawanna's mayor was quoted as saying, when asked about the importance of preservation, especially elsewhere on the waterfront with the old grain silos we talked about, he was dismissive, saying, well, that's why Buffalo is in the shape it is. Is there a more unenlightened elected official in all of Western New York?
One has to to hope that he misspoke and didn't really understand what he was saying, because I just don't know where he's going with that. Are we saying that Lackawanna is in better shape? I'm not really sure. But as I said before, the examples of historic preservation that's been done in Buffalo show that it makes sense. It makes economic sense. It is economic development. Historic preservation does not stop economic development. It helps it. And I think Dana has more to say on that.
Yes, I've actually been reading a really great book lately by Donovan Ripkema, who recently won a National Preservation Award. A lot of what he writes about is like as Elizabeth says, that preservation is economic development. And how that works is that preservation, as opposed to demolition and building new, hires more people locally, keeps more money in the local economy. Preservation work, as opposed to new build, requires more, it's more labor intensive, and it requires higher paying craftsmen to be on the job. And so less of the money goes towards materials, and that also makes it a more sustainable choice because you're saving the embodied energy that's in the building. So there's a number of different benefits. And then finally, the fact that the type of people who are coming into urban cores are the people who, young educated people who want historic, walkable neighborhoods with, you know, that strong urban fabric.
It was so interesting because last month I traveled to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania for a wedding. A friend of my son's got married, and we had a chance to walk around Bethlehem. And I was amazed at what they're doing with the old industrial site. They're preserving it. They have an enlightened mayor who knows what to do with preservation. And it was astounding to see what's happening there and what could happen here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there are many possibilities come to mind when you see a project of that sort. In fact, Buffalo's Young Preservationist has, we've been planning a little field trip down there ourselves because we want to be reaching out to other communities that have vision of that kind. And, you know, while their situation's a little bit different, they've retained more of their blast furnaces, which make for a really interesting background. There's still a lot of wonderful infrastructure that we have down on the waterfront at Bethlehem Steel's site that could be integrated into some kind of new project. So there's certainly plenty of possibilities out there, you know, and it just needs to be brought to a full request for proposal so that the developers regionally, nationally, internationally, you know, Toronto people might have an interest in coming down here. You never know. So it just needs to be marketed properly.
Another issue in the news, officials of the Buffalo Niagara Medical Campus have unveiled plans that would retain the more visible parts of the old Trico One building at Elm and Goodell Streets. Still, 60% of the complex would be torn down. Is that acceptable?
Well, I don't think that in terms of the preservationist groups that I work with, I don't find any of them are considering it acceptable. And they're wondering how complete the work was that was done for this feasibility study that suggests that just this one little corner on Goodell would be retained. It wouldn't be. There's a lot of things that they think may have been overlooked or not looked into enough, and one of them being project phasing. I mean, you've actually had a show recently where Mark Croce talks about the parts of the, you know, the Statler that he's not doing anything with right now. You know, he's just building very slowly. It will take a while for that whole building to be reused. There's some who say that something similar could happen with the Trico building.
Yeah, indeed. That's a really important aspect to consider. Project phasing is something that they didn't talk about in the study, and that works very well for a number of large-scale projects of this kind. You know, of course, if they retain the historic parts of the building, they'll be able to leverage the historic tax credits, federal and state. And I think that their idea of demolishing and then putting out an RFP is really kind of backwards. So if they were to do something, you know, they can suggest that to a potential developer and say, you know, project phasing could very well be worked in.
There, a lot of the preservation community feels that there are people out there and that they haven't been reached out to. There's been real no RFP done for the entire structure. And that's something that needs to be explored. So I think there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that are missing, many feel, in this study. And I wouldn't think that a decision to demolish so much of the structure is the wise one to make at this juncture.
And unlike Bethlehem Steel, which is days away, as I mentioned, from being demolished, there will be a lengthy process, I would assume, here with various stakeholders. I mean, this is nowhere near close to being decided.
Well, one important thing to remember is that the public should really have a say here, because almost all the money that gets put into the BNMC, the whole campus, and the city, which technically owns the structure, and of course the BNMC are the designated developers, it's all public money. This is our money. This is our building. We should talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that the public input has really been missed in this opportunity to, you know, collaborate to discuss this amongst everyone. There was a preservation roundtable initiated by the BNMC, but it was really a name only, and unfortunately the folks who were on that roundtable, including some members of Buffalo's Young Preservationists, were given a final study with no opportunity to comment, and then it was put out to the media almost immediately. So there was really, it was a community consensus in name only, and that's something that really needs to be addressed, because the BNMC, you know, as a recipient of 90% public funding, has to have community comment.
Dana, as a young person, do you find today's younger generation is more concerned than perhaps older people are about preserving the heritage that we have in our city?
I wouldn't say they're more concerned, but I would just say that they are that there are a number of young people who have energy and interest to pursue this at this point in their lives. You know, someone like me, you know, I don't have children. I don't have the kinds of requirements on my time that some people do, who may be a little bit older. But I have learned a great, great deal of what I know about preservation in the last couple of years from my mentors, who are people who've been in the scene for 20, 30, 40 years. And they really are the ones who have carried the torch for a long time. I don't think that they're ready just yet to pass it on, per se, but I think that they're inviting us, younger preservationists, into the fold and sharing their knowledge. But it is really exciting. I was at the National Preservation Conference in Spokane last month, and to see the number of younger people coming out more and more to these events that the National Trust runs is really exciting. And I think that there's a lot of people who are seeing that they want to define the future of their cities.
Was this always an interest of yours?
History has always been an interest of mine. Preservation was something that, as I mentioned, I'm fairly new to. However, just goes to show you the amount that you can learn if you're willing to reach out and learn what you can from people out there who have been doing it for a long time.
Do you see yourself as a game changer?
I have been called that. I don't know. I think that I'm just a person who was in the right place at the right time, and I've embraced, you know, the great amount of resources that there are here, and you know, whether that is an educational resource, a resource in the form of people who have shared their knowledge, and things like that that have really helped us move forward in preservation. I think there's a lot more visibility of preservation amongst a wider community now, so that's really exciting.
We're really impressed by Dana's energy. If you were to follow her, you know, which you could easily do on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, it's sure, the petition drive. She's biking here. She's going to be there doing something. And the thing is, you know, she's not being paid for any of this. And to a lot of us who have, you know, been working for preservation and you know, advocating for Buffalo's historic built environment for a while, it's so encouraging to think that, yes, there are all these young people who want to do it too. And that gives you a sense that it will continue.
Well, Elizabeth and Dana, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree, and Dana Saylor Furman is one of the magazine's 24 Buffalo Game Changers profiled in the December issue. Mark Scott, WBFO News.